we are getting ready to celebrate Passover, Pascha. In English, they call it Easter. We don't like to call it Easter because Easter is the name of one of the goddess, Astoreth, Easter. And before Easter, it just so happened that, you know, before Christianity, of course, there were other religion, right? And the day is happened to be the same. We celebrate on the day that the goddess Easter or Astoreth was celebrated. So we don't like to say that, but for the sake of people sometimes do not understand what is Passover, for the sake of those people, okay, fine, it's Easter, you know, it's Easter. But whenever we can, we want to use the word that is biblical, Passover. Passover is biblical, Pascha. Pascha. It's not my intent at this time to explain what Pascha is, but we are getting ready to celebrate that. It's 22 days, something like that, 3 more weeks from now. We are celebrating Passover, and the sermon will reflect and building up to that day. If you notice, the logo and the slides are similar to the announcement earlier about the Passover event. So that's what we want to build up. And a little bit about Passover and what Jesus has done through what he did at the cross. What he did was he restored. What's lost was originally there, lost because of the sin of Adam and Eve and all their descendants, including us. What's lost, Jesus came to restore. God has a plan. First, he make man in his image, but sin destroyed that image, but Jesus came to restore the image. Just a simple story about Easter. Jesus came. Adam and Eve are the first human being. Jesus is the last man who restored. Keep that in mind as we talk about different facets of what this image look like. One of the things that you sang just now, son, I'm a child, right? Did you remember what you just sang a few minutes ago? Yeah, you sing what? I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Yeah. That is one image, an image. I mean, God is not only just one image of the Son, but he is also, there are some other things that he show us who or what he looks like. And of course, we are not talking about physical face, you know, the nose is longer or shorter or, you know, his skin color. We're not talking about that. We're talking about spiritual image. What was lost? And now Jesus restored, one of which is Son of God, the child of God. So, but there is one other thing that I want to speak about today. And I think if you understand this, your life will be much better because you understand the word of God. But before that, let me show you the verse where God says, let us make man in our image. If I have to look at the original design, what book in the Bible should I go to? Good. You are correct. Genesis chapter 1. Of course, we look at the original design. This is when God planned to make humanity. And this is what he said. Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us so that they may take charge. Take charge. Rule. Right? Of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on earth. What did God say? One of the image that is very clear here, as I make man to be like me, God says, I want them to take charge, to rule over all creation, all the makhluk hidup. What is makhluk hidup in English? Living things. Good. Living things. So we can see one of them is take charge. What does it mean to take charge? Well, in our church, at least in IFGF, and not only in IFGF, I believe this particular doctrine of domination is not only in IFJF, but in other church. One of the meaning of this is take charge means to rule. And in our church, there was a year when our theme is dominion mandate. Dominion is to have power over something. Mandate means command. Dominion mandate is mean that human being is given the authority, the mandate by God. Mandate sounds more legal. It's not just like, you go do this or you go do that. Mandate means war, testament, covenant, legal binding thing, a mandate. Right? So, dominion mandate. And it's understandable that kind of message is more exciting for all of us. Oh, man, I thought that I was nothing, but look, God gave me a mandate to dominate. Whoa, it makes me feel good. Of course, it makes for a great, great message. I'm building you up. Come on, stir you up. You are great. You are given mandate. You are to dominate. You are powerful. You are to rule. Not wrong, because exactly that's what it says. But I want to provide you today with another side of the coin, of the take charge. Because we need to understand the full picture of what it means, take charge. And it can be found, don't look at the title, but by looking at the title, you will understand where I am going with this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend. To tend, to toil, you know, mengusahakan. And watch over. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat all the fruit of every tree in the garden. You are free. Go ahead, eat it. Because you work in it. Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Turns out there is more explanation what the word take charge mean. Take charge specifically mean to tend and to watch over. And when you look at the Hebrew word to tend, it is abad, to work, to serve. In other words, God is telling Adam and Eve, probably more to Adam, the man, Adam, you are to serve. Another word for serve is servant. You are to be the servant, Adam. And it just so happened that the word serve is also the same word as slave. You are the slave, Adam. You are to serve, Adam. Another side of the coin of that ruling, dominating, dominion mandate is to serve. Another side of the coin of that image, to rule, is to serve. And to a lot of people, this is not too exciting. It's not popular. As a theme, you know, like dominion mandate is such a nice word, right? As a team, but servant. You are a servant. Okay, you know, I'm a servant, fine. Not too exciting, right? But I think it is part of the image. We do not want to just kind of skip over, oh, I'm a child of God. Of course, you know, child of God is true. But the fact, and you will see it from the scripture, that this particular image as a servant is over and over something that Jesus tried to restore. So let's talk about it. Just very clear from the start, God is telling Adam, Adam, you are the servant. I'm God. I'm the owner. You are not the owner, Adam. I am the owner. You go work there. Serve there in the land and watch over. To tend in Hebrew is le abadah. To watch over is le samarah. Le samarah means to preserve. You are to serve and to preserve, Adam. You are not the owner. I am the owner. You are the servant. You are to serve and preserve. Preserve, you understand what preserve mean? Means make it good. Make it as close as possibly from the original design. Do not stray here and there. You are to preserve and make it long-lasting. The way I designed it. Did you see the language and the word of original image there? You are to serve and to preserve. Watch over it. You can eat all, except that one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But all of you, I think, understand what happened next, right? You understand, you know what happened next. God says, if you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Do not eat. But we all know they ate. Why did they eat? Because the devil is telling them, you won't die. You won't die. But God says, you will die. The devil said, you won't die. So man and his wife has to make decision. Who to trust? And we know all the story. Who they trust. And then they do what the devil asked them. You won't die. Go ahead and eat. Go ahead and enjoy. They listen to the devil. They obey the advice of the devil. What happened when you obey the devil's advice? Rome tells us this. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slave, read this carefully. You are slave of the one you obey. You got this? You got this? Whether you are slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Pretty much, you have three parties to obey. We are always someone else's slave. Why? Because obviously, you do not have the highest authority. You will always be under someone, be it the devil, be it God, or be it you yourself. You will always be the slave of someone. In this case, human being has chosen that they want to be obeying the devil. When by eating the fruit and complying with the devil, this is basically what it's saying. Listen to this carefully. Basically, when Adam and Eve ate that fruit, they are making a statement like this. I am free to determine my destiny. Forget about God's. Whatever he said, forget about it. I am free. There are two advices, two opinions. I am free to choose which one. I am free to do whatever I want. In this case, I'm choosing to eat. Forget about God. I can take care of myself. Don't worry, God. I will not die. I can take care of myself. Forget about God. Another possibilities of what their actions speak. They don't say this, but this is what it means. I have the right to do what I want. I have the right to determine. I am free to become who I want to become. I am determined. I can determine my own identity of who I am. You put me as a slave, but I can disagree. I am who I am according to me. And I determine what I want to do and where I want to go in life. Because do you notice the language of ownership there? Did you detect when they eat that fruit, they establish themselves as the owner? They are no longer servant of God. They said, I want to do what I want to do. How foolish, isn't it? In wanting freedom, we have become slaves. When we agree with the devil and follow his advice about freedom, the devil says, just do it. You won't die. According to his definition, we are becoming his slave. But Jesus said, apart from me, whatever freedom that you are seeking, apart from me, you will not live. You can do nothing. And the problem and the sad thing about this situation, about Adam and Eve, continues until today. The ancient lies still continue until today. We live our lives as if it is our own. We choose our own path. We seek to dominate others. Oh, dominion mandate, right? I want to dominate others. We seek our own interests instead of God's will on earth. And what is the result when you do that? Think about it. When you seek your own way, do your own thing, what happened? You feel, well, at first you're so proud. Hey, I'm a big boy now. I can do things according to what I want. I determine the direction of my life. I can do whatever I want. And especially for those of you who traveled far from your father and mother, you know, to go to school to hear, hey, I am a big boy, I'm a big girl, my parents are no longer observing me. I can do anything I want, according to you. But so many sad stories, as people seek to determine their own destiny, they get into so many trouble and suffering. For Adam and Eve, at least, you know what happened to them. They got kicked out from the Garden of Eden, have to toil the soil in tears and in keringat. What is keringat? Sweat. And Eve have to go through pain to have children. Suffering enter into the picture. Gone is the day of walking in peace with God in the garden. And we too, when we are separated from the will of God and we claim that we own our own life, we got involved in so many sinful things and live a condemned life. We lost that privilege and spiritual authority because now we are slave to the devil and its agenda. We're lost because in seeking that freedom, not wanting to be the servant of God, you have become the servant of the devil. And the devil doesn't care. You know, you can be the servant of the devil by directly obeying his word, or you can be the servant of yourself, obeying your own thoughts, your own logic. And this is when Jesus entered into the picture. And this is what Pascha is all about. Jesus came and restored. And yeah, we talk about, you know, in the church, Jesus died, forgive our sin. He restored us as a child of God, at peace with God. But do you know that he also restored the image of a servant? Look, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. I want you to read this carefully and slowly with me. Of course, Paul wrote this. Adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Who? What kind of person is Christ Jesus? Though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Meaning a thing to be proud of. The thing to, hey, I have this. The grabs, you know. Hey, I have this, you don't. He did not do that. But what did he do instead? He emptied himself as if he has nothing by taking the form of a servant. Why not he take the form of a king, a ruler, a dominator? No. He take the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in a human form, he humbled himself. It's not only a human, the average human being, but he take it further. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Did you see the picture of Pascha there in the last phrase? That is a picture of Pascha. That is a picture of what Jesus has done for us. He humbled himself until the point of death, even at the cross. This servant, he maintained the position as a servant. I mean, on the way to Calvary, it's very easy for him to say, wait, the drama is long enough now. It's enough. Thank you, everybody. Now it's my time to show who I am really. Right? He could do that. Hey, look, I am God. I am Jesus Christ. I am your Savior and your Lord. Wait, okay, enough. No. He humbled himself, going through Via Dolorosa to the cross, the way of the cross, to the cross. Even at the cross, he had an opportunity. He did not langsung die, you know, immediately die. He said, I could just come down. In fact, that's what one of the soldiers taunted him. If you're a son of God, come down. No, he did not do that. He did not do that. Even that at the cross, he restored an image of a servant. So, what are we? What are we? I think it is right if he... See, this is the thing, right? You are being told you are the child of God. And then you say, oh yeah, I am a child of God. Yes, I am. But what about if I tell you, you are the servant of God? You are a servant. A servant? Slave? Can you sing with a happy face? I am a servant. I'm a slave. Hallelujah. I don't think so. Because it is not a very, very highly honored position. But you and I need to understand the servanthood are being restored. Look, since you have heard about Jesus and has learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Did you notice lust and deception is what happened in the garden? Lust for power to be an owner and deception by the devil. That is the language of Genesis there. Lust and deception. Paul is using that language. Lust and deception. Instead of being corrupted by lust and deception, instead, this is what you must do. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Let the Spirit. That is an important word there. Let the Spirit. Renew your thoughts and attitude. Put on your new nature, created to be like God. Did you also recognize the phrase of an image here? Created to be like God. Wasn't it that language appear in the Genesis chapter 1? Yeah? Jesus. Restore image of you and I who were created to be like God. Instead, let the Spirit. Why the Spirit? Well, before I answer why the Spirit, you look at this first, because in the same chapter, Philippians chapter 2, you understand why by the Spirit. The attitude that it's talking about there is an attitude of a servant. And you look at this, Philippians chapter 2 verse 3, it's a previous verse. This is what it says. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only on your own interests, but take the interests of others too. How hard is that? Very difficult. Don't be selfish. I'm selfish. I want my needs being met first before others. Don't try to impress others. I try to impress others all the time. With my clothing, you know, with my car, sometimes with whatever, I try to impress. Be humble. I'm not humble. Thinking of others as better than yourself. No, that kills my ambition. I always think that I am better than others. Don't look out for your own interest. I look at my own bank account first before I look at your bank account. Take interest in others. No, I plan my own vacation first before your vacation. Pretty much, I am looking at myself first. I am a selfish human being. You try to do that by your own strength. It's impossible. That is why Jesus said, instead, let the Spirit renew you. You do it, you can try to be a moral person, but you will not ever live up to this high morality. This is high morality. You try, most likely you will fail. But when the Spirit led, that is why it's so important for us to understand what it means by living in the Spirit power. That is why it's so important for you to understand that you need to be baptized in Holy Spirit. That is why it's so important for you, in addition to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, also experience the gift of the Spirit. I know that this word that I just said to some people does not mean anything. It's okay. But I hope it at least stir up your curiosity. What does it mean, fruit of the Spirit, gift of the Spirit, let's renew by the Spirit? That is your homework, because you are a good disciple. You are a good Christian. You will want to study the Word of God more. Amen? How many can say amen? It's okay, you don't understand, it's fine. But at least stir up your heart. Come on, I want to understand more. What does it mean? But let me tell you, without the Spirit, you cannot do possibly all that. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. At least one person is awake here. Hallelujah. Live by the Spirit. When you serve others, did you notice all this is others-oriented? Yeah, others-oriented. It's not yourself-oriented. Your mind is always on others. That is the kind of life of a servant. A servant serves the interest of the master, and the master said, you go and serve others. That should be your agenda in life. All right, so I'm going to wrap this up. But don't think that that's only like 2 minutes wrapping. I'm going to wrap it up. And I purposely leave this part at the end because I do not want to bypass you understanding the concept of servanthood being restored, because you have to go through that. But I'm going to tell you this because this is the most exciting part that I think, right? Because, and I purposely do not sell this sermon based on this last part that I'm going to tell you, because then you will bypass all this tough talk about servanthood, you know. I mean, like, okay. But you may ask me this if I stop right now. Okay, let's say that I stop right now. Okay, let's sing now and close. You will ask me this. Pastor, is that it? Servanthood? Is that our image? All right, there's nothing more? Servanthood is the end goal here. You know, we want to go back to like God, image God, and child of God, and son of God, and servant of God. Is that it? Let's say that it is not it. Because when you look at this verse 8, right? We look at last one. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death at the cross. Is that the end of the story? No, it is not the end of the story. Is that the end of that passage? Verse 8? No, because there is verse 9 that you have not seen that I will tell you. Okay? This is the exciting part. To me, it is exciting. It's a little small, but I hope you can read it. Philippians Well, just one verse after that. Therefore, this is talking about Jesus who just died at the cross. Therefore, this is talking about Jesus after he lived a life of a servant. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed him, elevate him, grant him, I'm looking for my own synonym here, in the name that is above every name. Don't think about it only for Jesus, because this applies for us. But let me just go ahead and read the whole thing. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Verse 11, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What happened here? Jesus died as a servant, died at the cross. But the cross is not the end. Because comes time now, Jesus passed the test as a servant, come elevation time. God bestowed, God raised up the name of Jesus, that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. It's talking about payback time. It's talking about, yes, you have been a faithful servant, now I am elevating you. Do you know that this process of elevation only happens to someone in a lowly position? Unless you are in a lowly position, God will not elevate you to the high position. If you want to be in a high position, you need to be in that low position. The path to glorification is going through the low servanthood position. That is why the image is the image of the servant. You and I need to live a life like a servant and let God elevate you. Do not elevate yourself. A lot of people want to seek their own interest, their own ambition in the name of wanting to elevate themselves. But the word of God says, let God elevate you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourself. Someone who is not humble is elevating themselves. But you are Christian. You are servant. You humble yourself. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you. He may elevate you. He may lift you up. Let God do it, not you yourself, not other people. Seek recognition, not from yourself, from your friends, from everybody else, but seek recognition in that high place. Let you live as a servant so that God can lift you up. God says he is close to the humble and brokenhearted and those who are lowly, so that he hates the boastful one, the prideful one. That is the image. That is why I leave this at the end, because it is exciting. Because one day at the proper time, you and I will be elevated by God. And let him do it. He knows it better. And the glory that he can give to you is much, much more than the glory that you can obtain yourself. Amen. But it's back to the servant. For now. Is it okay with you? Is it okay? It's a servant. I hope it's okay with you. Because the payback is marvelous. I'm looking forward for that. It's okay lah. A servant. And practically, what does it mean? And this is where we're going to end. A servant. It may not be exciting. It may not be popular. But it works. If you want your elevation from God, this is the way. Because this is the image. This is the image that was lost. God gave the authority to Adam and Eve to manage, to take charge, to rule, to dominion mandate. But at the same time, God wants you to recognize he is the owner and not you. Not you. But the devil says, go and eat You can determine your own future. You can determine what you can or cannot do. Just eat. You won't die. And Adam and Eve believed that. And sin enter, suffering enter. Jesus came, restored that, the image of the servant. And Jesus is saying to you today, surrender to him. It's only three that you can surrender your life to. God, the devil, or yourself. Surrender to God. Somebody said, real victory is based on surrender to the right thing. Makes sense, right? While failure is based on the unwillingness to surrender to anything. You may think, I don't want to surrender anything. I live my own life. But the minute you do not surrender to anything, you are surrendering to yourself. And establish yourself as the owner. And denying that God is your maker. God is your creator. God is your owner. I pray that we live our life as a servant. How do you live as a servant? This. Just some practical example. You have a friend that are far from God and suffer alone. You as a servant, you go there. Meet that friend. You know, some people, they are far from God, not because they don't know God. They are far from God because they have done something wrong and they feel condemned. And instead of seeking forgiveness, they ran away from God, far from God. What that person needs to do is come back to God because God is graceful, God will forgive. But sometimes we're so lost, we're so condemned. It takes a friend who cares to reach out to that person. A sick member of the church, you saw. There's one person that is very sick in our church. Not coming to this church, but this morning she came in San Ramon. Sick, very sick. What would you do as a servant? You go pray. You pray for healing. You go to that person, touch and, you know, whatever, and pray for healing. And you can say, oh, I'm too shy. A servant knows no shyness. The servant knows what needs to be done according to the master's will. A mother struggling in raising kids and have to work. You saw that. You know that. What do? Just say, hey, how are you doing, mom? Good to see you today. Mom, very tired. At least hold her babies for a while. Let her enjoy a bit time in the church once a week. Even better, call her during the midweek. Say, can I come over to your house? I'm free today. Can I help you something? Father also have the same problem, tired, work two jobs. What do as a servant of God? At least pray. Offer to do some help around the house. Husband toward the wife. Don't you think it will be wonderful if each husband serve the wife, wife serve the husband, each thinking of others better than themselves. It's thinking of the other's interests instead of your interests. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have that kind of servanthood heart in the life of husband and wife? This is servanthood. I pray that each one of you do not just, hey, I'm safe, I'm good, I'm happy, I'm blessed, I'm found, I'm favored. Yes, those are all good and true. But you are also a servant. God calls you to serve. Let's all stand. There's so much. I don't have enough time to explain the benefit of the servant so much. You may think it's nothing, but it's really something. That's why Jesus restore it. You are a servant of God. As you are a servant of God, that it another meaning of it is you also belong to God. You have a master, and your master is kind. Your master is good. He takes care of you. He takes care of you. That is one of the benefits that I'm so secure, because I know I am a servant. Yes, in the eyes of the world, it's a servant. You know, what's so special about servant? Do you know that you and I, we live in the upside down kingdom, where the way we understand and view the world is totally upside down in the world. The world says, rule, become the master. God says, serve, become the servant. The world says, be wise. The word of God says, be full before you can be wise. The world says, gather as much possession as possible. The word of God says, give. I mean, it's just like, you know, like wherever, it's just like not making sense. But that is the beauty of the Word of God. That is the beauty. I mean, God does not work with common what people think in their interests, because He is just waiting to give you that elevation. He is waiting. If you can stand becoming a servant, He Himself will give it to you. Amen. I'm just so excited for you to see that you are a servant of God, and God is going to elevate you at the end, at the proper time. But be patient, okay? Be patient.